Okay, we are beginning chapter 27 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, called The Centaur and the Sneak. I'll bet you wish you hadn't given up divination now, don't you, Hermione? Asked Parvati, smirking. You remember because of, friends. It was breakfast time a few days after the sacking of Professor Trelawney, and Parvati was curling her eyelashes around her wand and examining the effects in the back of her spoon. They were to have their first lesson with Ferenz that morning. Not really, said Hermione indifferently, who was reading the Daily Prophet. I've never really liked horses. She turned a page of the newspaper, scanning its columns. He's not a horse, he's a centaur, said Lavender, sounding shocked. A gorgeous centaur, sighed Parvati. Either way, he's still got four legs, so they like centaurs like guys like mermaids. Either way, he's still got four legs, said Hermione coolly. Anyway, I thought you two were all upset about that Trelawney had gone. We are, Lavender assured her. We went up to her office to see her. We took her some daffodils, not the honking ones that Sprouts got, nice ones. How is she, asked Harry. Not very good, poor thing, said Lavender sympathetically. She was crying and saying she'd rather leave the castle forever than stay here if Umbridge is still here, and I don't blame her. Umbridge was horrible to her, wasn't she? I've got a feeling Umbridge has only just started being horrible, said Hermione darkly. Impossible, said Ron, who was tucking into a large plate of eggs and bacon. She can't get any worse than she's been already. You mark my words, she's going to want revenge on Dumbledore for appointing a new teacher without consulting her, said Hermione, closing the newspaper. Especially another part human. You saw the look on her face when she saw Ferenz. After breakfast, Hermione departed for her arithmetic class, and Harry and Ron followed Parvati and Lavender into the entrance hall, heading for divination. Aren't we going up to North Tower? Asked Ron, sounding puzzled, as Parvati bypassed the marble staircase. Parvati looked scornfully over her shoulder at him. How do you expect Ferenz to climb that ladder? We're in classroom 11 now. It was on the notice board yesterday. Classroom 11 was situated on the ground floor corridor leading off the entrance hall, on the opposite side of the great hall. Harry knew that it was one of the classrooms that were never used regularly, and that therefore had the slightly neglected feeling of a cupboard or storeroom. When he entered it right behind Ron, he found himself right in the middle of a forest clearing, and he was therefore momentarily stunned. What the? The classroom floor had become springily mossy, and trees were growing out of it, their leafy branches fanned across the ceiling and windows, so that the room was full of slanting shafts of soft, dappled green light. The students who had already arrived were sitting on the earthy floor with their backs resting against tree trunks or boulders, arms wrapped around their knees or folded tightly across their chests, looking rather nervous. In the middle of the room, where there were no trees, stood Ferenz. Harry Potter, he said, holding out his hand when Harry entered. Hi, said Harry, shaking hands with the centaur, who surveyed him unblinkingly with those astonishingly blue eyes, but did not smile. Good to see you. And you, said the centaur, inclining his white blonde head. It was foretold we would meet again. Harry noticed that there was a shadow of a hoof-shaped bruise on Ferenz's chest. As he turned to join the rest of the class upon the floor, he saw that they were all looking at him with awe, apparently deeply impressed he was on speaking terms with Ferenz, whom they seemed to find intimidating. When the door was closed and the last student had sat down upon a tree stump beside the waste paper basket, Ferenz gestured around the room. Professor Dumbledore has kindly arranged this classroom for us, said Ferenz, when everyone had settled down, in imitation of my natural habitat. I would have preferred to teach you in the Forbidden Forest, which was, until Monday, my home, but this is not possible. Please, sir, said Parvati breathlessly, raising her hand. Why not? We've been in there with Hagrid, we're not frightened. It is not a question of your bravery, said Ferenz, but of my position. I can no longer return to the forest. My herd has banished me. Herd, said Lavender in a confused voice. and Harry knew she was thinking of cows. What? Oh, and comprehension dawned on her face. There are more of you, she said, stunned. Did Hagrid breed you like the Thestrals? Asked Dean eagerly. Ferenz turned his head very slowly to face Dean, who seemed to realize at once that he had said something very offensive. I meant, he finished in a hushed voice. Centaurs are not the servants or playthings of humans, said Ferenz quietly. There was a pause, and then Parvati raised her hand. Please, sir, why have the other centaurs banished you? Because I have agreed to work with Professor Dumbledore, said Ferenz. They see this as a betrayal of our kind. Harry remembered how, nearly 4 years ago, the centaur Bane had shouted at Ferenz for allowing Harry to ride to safety upon his back, calling him a common mule. Harry wondered whether it had been Bane who had kicked Ferenz in the chest. Let us begin, said Ferenz. He swished his long palomino tail, raising his hand over the leafy canopy overhead, and then lowered it slowly, and as he did so, the lights in the room dimmed, so that they now seemed to be sitting in a forest cleared by twilight, and stars emerged on the ceiling. There were oohs and gasps, and Ron said audibly, Blimey! Lie back upon the floor, said Ferenz in a calm voice, and observe the heavens. Here it is written, for those who can see, the fortune of our races. Harry stretched out on his back and gazed upward at the ceiling. A twinkling red star winked at him from overhead. I know that you have learned the names of the planets and their moons in astronomy, said Ferenz's calm voice, and that you have mapped the stars' progress through the heavens. Centaurs have unraveled the mysteries of these movements over centuries. Our findings teach us that the future may be glimpsed in the sky above. Professor Trelawney did astrology with us, said Parvati excitedly, raising her hand in front of her so that it stuck in the air as she lay on her back. Mars causes accidents and burns and things like that, and when it makes an angle to Saturn, like now, she drew a right angle in the air above her. That means that people need to be extra careful when handling hot things. That, said Ferenz calmly, is human nonsense. Parvati's hand fell limply to her side. Trivial hurts, tiny human accidents, said Ferenz, as his hooves thudded over the mossy floor. These are of no more significance than the scurrying of ants to the wide universe, and are unaffected by planetary movements. Professor Trelawney, began Parvati, in a hurt and indignant voice, is a human, said Ferenz simply, and is therefore blinkered and fettered by the limitations of your kind. Harry turned his head very slowly to look at Parvati. She looked very offended, as did several of the people surrounding her. Sybil Trelawney may have seen, I do not know, continued Ferenz, and Harry heard the swishing of a tail as he walked up and down before them. But she wastes her time in the main on the self-flattering nonsense humans call fortune-telling. I, however, am here to explain the wisdom of centaurs, which is impersonal and impartial. We watch the skies for tides of evil or change that sometimes is marked there. It may take 10 years to be sure of what we are seeing. Ferenz pointed to the red star directly above Harry. In the past decade, the indications have been that wizard kind is living through nothing more than a brief calm between two wars. Mars, bringer of battle, shines brightly above us, suggesting that the fight might break out again soon. How soon, centaurs may attempt to divine by burning of certain herbs and leaves, by the observation of fumes and flame. It was the most unusual lesson Harry had ever attended. They did indeed burn sage and marrow sweet there on the classroom floor, and Ferenz told them to look for certain shapes and symbols in the pungent fumes. but he seemed perfectly unconcerned that not one of them could see any of the signs he described, telling them that humans were hardly ever good at this, and it took centaurs years and years to become competent, finishing by telling them that it was foolish to put too much faith in such things anyways, because even centaurs could sometimes read them wrongly. He was nothing like any human teacher Harry had ever had. His priority did not seem to be to teach them what he knew, but rather to impress upon them that nothing, not even centaur's knowledge, was foolproof. "He's not very definite on anything, is he?" said Ron in a low voice, as they put out their mallow sweet fire. "I mean, I could do with a few more details on this war we're about to have, couldn't you?" The bell rang outside the classroom door, and everyone jumped. Harry had completely forgotten that they were still inside the castle, quite convinced that he was really in the forest. The class filled out, looking slightly perplexed. Harry and Ron were on the point of following when Ferenz called. "Harry Potter, a word, please." Harry turned. The centaur advanced a little toward him. Ron hesitated. "You may stay," Ferenz told him, "but close the door, please." Ron hastened to obey. "Harry Potter, you are a friend of Hagrid's, are you not?" said the centaur. "Yes," said Harry. "Then give him a warning from me. His attempt is not working. He would do better to abandon it." "His attempt is not working?" Harry repeated blankly. "And he would do better to abandon it," said Ferenz, nodding. "I would warn Hagrid myself, but I am banished. It would be unwise for me to go too near the forest now. Hagrid has troubles enough without a centaur's battle." "But what's Hagrid attempting to do?" asked Harry nervously. Ferenz looked at Harry impassively. "Hagrid has recently rendered me a great service," said Ferenz, "and he's long since earned my respect for the care he shows all living creatures. I shall not betray his secret, but he must be brought to his senses. The attempt is not working. Tell him, Harry Potter. Good day to you." And I think we'll stop there. I hope you like that, my kitten boo. I hope you have sweet dreams. You're a beautiful kitten. I love you so much. Sleep well.